This is a one-off sermon. I've been preaching through the Gospel according to John. And while studying, the Lord moved on me to do this one instead. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 13. The title of this message is called Hard Things. Hard Things. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. This deals with rebellion. And the Bible says that the way of transgressors is hard. Perhaps maybe you have chose the path of rebellion. Let this be a firm warning towards you that you have a hard road ahead of you, according to the Word of God. Perhaps maybe you decided to take the path of rebellion whenever you were a teenager. Perhaps you realized that mom and dad don't know everything, and you decided, if I'm going to learn anything, it's going to be the hard way. Well, the Bible says it will be a hard path for you to follow, because it says that the way of transgressors is hard. So let's just say you took the path of rebellion at the age of 13. You decided, I'm not going to listen to what mom and dad tell me to do. I'm not going to listen to what the school tells me what to do, which can be a good idea sometimes, especially whenever they're teaching evolution. But let's just say there's a rule, like no running in the hallway. Well, you decide to do it anyway. I'm not going to do what that Bible tells me to do. I'm not going to do what that preacher tells me to do. I'm not going to do what that church tells me to do. I'm not going to do what the law says to do. I'm not going to follow the law. I will be a criminal. Let's just say that I'm not going to do what that speed limit sign tells me to do. I'm going to do my own thing. And if I learn anything, it's going to be the hard way. Well, my friend, let this be a warning to you. The Bible says that the way of transgressors is hard. Rebellion. Let's just say, we have people here today that work in prisons. There's people who are jail keepers. And every single day, they're taking care of people who are behind bars. That's where their rebellion took them. They said, ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. And they ended up in a place where everything they do, they're being told what to do. They're being told when to go to bed. They're told when to get up. They're told when they can go outside. They're told when they can go back inside. They're told whenever they can play. They're told whenever they can stop. They're told whenever they can eat. They're told whenever they can stop eating. Every move they make, they're being told what to do. Because at some point in their life, they said, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And everything they do, they're being told what to do. Exactly that. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Hold your place in Proverbs. We'll probably be coming back to Proverbs. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. My first point was there's a hard way for rebellion. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You might as well be a witch if you decide to choose the path of rebellion. And the Bible calls witchcraft an abomination. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Rebellion and stubbornness are Siamese twins. Usually whenever you have one, you have the other. Rebellion and stubbornness. And Saul, King Saul, had his kingdom taken away from him, his crown taken away from him because of his rebellion. And I'm here to tell you that your rebellion can cost you a crown. Rebellion and stubbornness are Siamese twins. This takes me to my next point. The way of a transgressor is hard. But a stubborn person, the Bible calls him a hard neck or a stiff-necked person. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. Verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So a stubborn person has a hard neck. Let's go to Exodus chapter 33. We'll talk about people who have stiffened their neck. Exodus chapter 33. Again, hold your place in Proverbs, because we'll probably keep going back and forth to Proverbs. Exodus 33. Verse 5. For the Lord hath said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people, and I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. So the children of Israel were a stiff-necked people. Let's turn back a couple pages to Exodus chapter 19. Let's see what they did. Exodus chapter 19. Verse 8. Exodus 19, verse 8. This is what they said. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So they said, we will be obedient to God. That's one time. Turn to Exodus chapter 24. Verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. That's the second time they said that. Let's turn just a little bit down to Exodus 24, verse 7. Verse 7. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said, will we do and be obedient. That is three times that they promised that they will be obedient. Now let's go to chapter 32. This is what they did. Exodus 32, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. So Moses, after they promised three times that they will be obedient, Moses goes up into that mountain, and he took a little bit longer than they thought. Verse 8, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They took that idol, they made them an idol, and said that this idol that we made with gold did everything that God did. They took that same message of deliverance and looked at this piece of gold and said, this gold did that. Moses, they swore three times that they will be obedient, and Moses goes up into a mountain, and while he's up in that mountain, they got impatient and made them a god. They are a stiff-necked people according to the Word of God. We can be stiff-necked sometimes too, can't we? Yes, we can. So let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Understand that this happened about 1500 B.C., give or take. Go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. They're recollecting everything that God did. He's given them a history lesson. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host on the earth, and all the things that are therein. The seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the God, the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and have made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and has performed thy words, for thou art righteous. And didst see the affliction of our hearts in Egypt, and heardest their cry by the Red Sea, and showedest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them, so didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deep as a stone into mighty waters. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gave them righteous judgments, and true laws, good statutes, and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, laws, by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock of for their thirst, and promised them that they would go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. And they and our fathers dealt proudly, and did what? Hardened their necks, and hearkened not unto the commandments, and refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. So understand this. Nehemiah calls them to remembrance 1,000 years later. This act was remembered 1,000 years later. If you choose the path of rebellion, if you choose the life of stubbornness, that is what you will be remembered by. These people were remembered for their stiff-neckedness. They were remembered for their rebellion 1,000 years later. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 25. if you choose the path of rebellion and stubbornness, oftentimes your children will follow that path too. Deuteronomy 31, verse 25. Moses is talking to the second generation of the children of Israel after the Exodus. This is before Moses died. That Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Watch, he says, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? He don't have a lot of faith in him, does he? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. He is saying, I want to tell it to their face. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Oftentimes the rotten fruit don't fall far from the tree. Now, granted, there are a lot of people who have broken that cycle. Could it be you today? I want you to break that cycle. I've taught youth before, taught Sunday school, and oftentimes I've had the privilege of teaching kids that grew up in troubled homes, divorced homes, broken homes, drug addict homes, alcoholic homes. And lots of times one of the most heartbreaking things was to teach them and pray for them and pour your heart and soul into every lesson. And you only have them for just a couple hours. The world's got them the rest of the week. Their drug addict family's got them the rest of the week. And what's sad is whenever they grow up and be just like their family, beat up by drugs and alcohol, and walking the same ways that their parents walked. Break that cycle today if that's you. There is a hard way for the transgressor or the rebel. There is a hard neck on the stubborn. There is a hard mind for the proud. Go to Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 24. Daniel's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High God, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat the grass of oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over thee till thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. He is saying that if you think that everything that you have came from by your efforts, you're wrong. Everything that you have was given to you by God. And he is giving him a warning. And he is saying, I will make you a wild man if you think that you can say this is by your efforts. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, and after that, that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Watch this. Now at the end of 12 months, this is 1 year later, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat the grass of the oxen, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat the grass of as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and under mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High God, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. So Nebuchadnezzar was proud for a moment. He had a proud thought, and he spoke out of pride, and God turned him into a wild man for 7 years. Humbled him, didn't he? Remember me saying that that's how you will be remembered by? Turn just the page, Daniel chapter 5. And Daniel's talking to Junior. Daniel chapter 5, verse 17. He's talking to Belshazzar. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation. He's interpreting the writing on the wall. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all power, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. Nebuchadnezzar had a pretty good authority, but when his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened. That's pride, a hard mind. In pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. There is a hard way for the transgressor or the rebel. There is a hard neck or a stiff neck for the stubborn. The stubborn has a stiff neck. There is a hard mind for the proud. And that is how you will be remembered by. What are you going to be remembered by? Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. The road of transgressors is hard. The road of pride always ends in failure. There's a hard way for the rebel. There's a hard neck on the stubborn. There's a hard mind on the proud. There's a hard bondage for the sinner. Go to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto the people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let's deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto their enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmakers and afflict them in their burdens, with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So there was a hard bondage with Israel, you see. Egypt is a type or picture of the world. Whenever God delivered Israel out of Egypt, that was a picture or typology of God delivering us out of sin. This literally happened, but it's a picture of salvation in a way. And that bondage that Israel was in is a picture or type of the bondage that we have towards sin. Everybody is born in bondage to sin. Every one of us are sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are under bondage of sin. Go with me to John chapter 8, verse 33. John chapter 8, verse 33. Jesus is being questioned by the Pharisees. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Maybe you're in bondage of sin today. Maybe you're lost today. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Perhaps you're in bondage of sin today. If you're lost, you are. There is a hard way for the rebel. There is a hard neck for the stubborn. There is a hard mind of the proud. There's a hard bondage of the sinner. There's also a hardened heart that we want to talk about. Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. What character of the Bible do we hear the most of harden his heart? Pharaoh. Let's go to Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. We're just going to go over him hardening his heart. Exodus 7, 14. Give y'all time for a second. There we go. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he refuseth to let the people go. Let's turn to verse 22. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. Go to chapter 8, verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Let's look at verse 19 of Exodus chapter 8. 8:19. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Verse 32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart also, neither would he let the people go. 9:7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. 9:12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. 9:35. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these mighty signs before him. 10, verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. Exodus chapter 11, verse 10. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Let's go a couple pages over to chapter 14, verse 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Maybe you're in here today and you have hardened your heart. And this was time after time after time after time. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart again and again and again and again. And maybe somebody here today comes here and you hear the message time and time and time again, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and at the end of every message, you harden your heart to the truth. How many times will you harden your heart? Pharaoh's hardened heart led him to the bottom of the Red Sea. Your hardened heart will lead you to the bottom of the lake of fire. There is a hard way for the rebel. There is a hard, stiff neck for the stubborn. There is a hardened mind for the proud. There is a hard bondage of sin. There's also a hardened heart. There's also hard pricks that you kick. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. We all know who Paul was, don't we? Saul. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues. And if he found any of this way, that is Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Whenever an ox would pull a plow, or pull a cart. Oftentimes they would put little pricks at the front of that cart or plow, and whenever it was a new ox, he would kick whenever he was led or urged to move along, and he would kick those pricks, and those pricks was to teach that ox not to kick. And that's exactly what Paul was doing. He persecuted Christians, and he probably heard the gospel as he was killing them. They probably were saying, "In the name of Jesus, I forgive you. Jesus died for you and he rose from the grave. He did that just for you, Saul, a sinner like you." And he killed them anyway. And every night he probably thought that, every night, relived that message. Jesus died for you and was buried and rose from the grave just for you. He probably sat there in bed at night thinking about that, pondering on that, and yet hardening his heart and killing Christians. And the Lord appears in him and says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How long will you fight off that conviction? How long will you hold back that conviction? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." There was a hard way for the rebel. Saul was a rebel, wasn't he? There was a hard neck. Wouldn't you say he was being a little bit stubborn? He kept kicking against them pricks. There is a hard mind of pride. He was eat up with religious pride. There's a hard bondage. He was a sinner, wasn't he? "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" That's what Paul said. There is a hardened heart, and if you kill a Christian, you have to have a hardened heart. And Jesus appears to Saul, and who later was Paul, and says, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How long will you fight off that conviction? How long? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." But the Lord softened his heart. And Paul was the greatest Christian that has ever lived and won many souls to the Lord. That'll be you one day if you quit kicking against the pricks. Jesus died for you. And he was buried, and he rose from the grave on that third day, proving that he is who he says he is, proving that he is able to save to the uttermost, proving that he is the Son of God. Let's go to prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering us together to study your word. I pray that we can be good ground, that we may bear fruit. I don't know who this message was for, but you laid this message on my heart for a reason. And Lord, I gave it, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that everybody responds as you lead them. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're in here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're in here today and you're kicking against those pricks. It's hard for you to kick against those pricks. How long will you kick against those pricks? Maybe you're in here today and the Lord's leading you to do something. Maybe you're saved. Maybe you're saved and the Lord's leading you to do something and you've been kicking against those pricks. How long will you kick against those pricks? If you have a burden or a need, give it to the Lord today. We're about to give an invitation, and that's your cue to come.